You know, I was having problems with about five people, Joe and Bill and Steve and this person and that one. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, Wayne, when you're having problems, who is the person that's always present? I realized it was me. I'm the person that's always present when I'm having problems with all these people. I hate it when God does that to me.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon.
We all face conflicts from time to time, on the job, in our marriage, maybe with your children or with your parents. Well, if you could use a little help in resolving those conflicts, today's program has your name written all over it. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled The Gift of Friendship.
In high school, under duress, they forced me to read this thing by Charles Dickens called A Tale of Two Cities. I don't remember a whole bunch about it, but I do remember a part of it where two people become friends, a young Frenchman named Darnay, and then an Englishman who was a lawyer, but his life just sort of got wasted. His name was Sidney Carton. And the story goes, Carton and Darnay became such good friends, but Darnay gets thrown into prison, into dungeon, and he's facing the guillotine the next morning. Carton hears about it. He steals his way into the dungeon the night before he's to go to the guillotine, convinces his friend to exchange places. They exchange clothes, and this young Frenchman then escapes from the dungeon the same way that Carton came in. And the very next morning, his friend is led up the stairs to the guillotine to take the place of his friend. And Charles Dickens writes a line that's actually out of John 15 and verse 13. He says, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friend. I thought, we live in a world that's crowded. We live in a world that's busy but lonely. And we are desperate for friends. And there's no better example than Jesus himself, who is one who said, no longer do I call you slaves, but I call you friends. And the more we become like him, the more we'll become someone who others may call friend. Because the best way to find good friends is to start by being one. In Luke chapter 5, there's a story of four friends. They have a paralytic or a paralyzed friend, and they hear about Jesus coming to town. And they say, well, you know, Jesus heals people. So they put this guy on the stretcher and four friends take him to where Jesus is. When they arrive at the house where Jesus is speaking, it is packed. There's no parking. It's like New Hope. No parking anywhere. So, undaunted, they take their friend up on the rooftop and they look for a chimney. But there's no chimney, so they actually start to break open the tiles to let down the stretcher. Now, I think about that. Do you know how much it would take to take a paralyzed person up on a roof? I mean, they probably have him dangling by his leg and pulling him up. It's just amazing. And then they make a hole big enough to let down a stretcher. That is a huge puka on somebody's roof that wasn't theirs. Now, I wish I had friends like that, that really risked their necks for me. Most of my friends are like the third friend of three friends that were lost at sea. 3 weeks had gone by without water, ran out of water. Now they are just dying of thirst, lips are parched, no food. Just towards the end, when one of the guys looks over and there's a bottle floating by, hoping that there's water in it, or anything, he picks it up and takes the cork off, and all of a sudden, a genie pops out. And the genie says, I notice you guys are in trouble. Well, you have three wishes. The first guy that grabbed the bottle was a Japanese guy, and he says, I want the first wish because I have high in the bottle. They say, okay, go for it. I wish I'd be back home with my wife in tea room drinking tea. All of a sudden, whoosh, she's gone. Oh, the next guy's a Hawaiian guy. Hey, I like to go next. I like for like be at my lanai eating pipikaula with my kekis and drinking soda. All of a sudden, whoosh, he's gone. The third guy left is a Portuguese guy. And the genie says, well, you're the last one here. You got one more wish. His eyes well up with tears. He says, I don't know. I feel so lonely. I like my friends come back. Just because you have friends doesn't mean you have good friends. Well, today we want to talk about what it means to be a godly friend. The first quality of someone who's a godly friend is one who's first a friend with God. Pretty simple. A friend with God. Let's read the scripture right at the top. Ready? Go. And behold, some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher right in the center in front of Jesus. You see, someone who's a friend with God is going to usher you to God because they know God. You see, if you're an enemy with God, you're in deep weeds. You do not want to be on the other team when God is against you. No, 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 no. Bad choice. If you are not a friend of God, if you are an enemy of God, I don't want you as my friend. Don't stand near me, because when lightning strikes, electricity conducts. Move away. The Bible says that in Luke 2:52. Let's read this. Ready? Go. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Would you circle the words favor with God? So if you want to be a godly friend, you'll need to be growing in favor with God. Have as your friend not just someone who goes to the same church. Have as your friend someone who has favor with God. That's the one you want to choose to be your friend. In fact, one of the most important decisions and choices that you'll make in your lifetime will be choosing friends. Well, so you say, well, Wayne, how do you know if a person is a friend of God? Well, let's read about Abraham. He was called a friend of God. Let's see what it says. Ready? Go. And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham what? Believed God. Would you circle those words? It's got to be someone who believes God. What does that word mean, to believe? It means that you have a heart that trusts in, relies upon, and depends upon what God says. And when you believe in God, your heart is one with God's commands and one with God's heart. The Bible says God calls that righteous. And he says, there's a friend of mine. What does that mean? Would you write in your bullet? It means that this person maintains a trustworthy heart. If I don't believe in God, I'm going to give you bad advice. It'll cause you to compromise. Because I don't believe what God really says. So even though I say I want to be a good friend, I will not be able to because I don't trust God. My heart isn't completely sold out to what his word says. So I'm going to give you advice such as, I know what the Bible says, but come on. I mean, come on. I know what God says, but you know, God will forgive us. I mean, God didn't really say. You know, when we buy into that, the very dangerous thing about that is we buy into the very same deceptive line that Eve bought into in Genesis 3 when the devil appeared as a serpent in the Garden of Eden. When she came to the serpent and said, you know, God said, you cannot eat of this tree. Here's what he said. Come on. Did God really mean that? He didn't really mean that. But what did he mean? What he meant was, if you take and eat of this, your eyes will be open. You'll be able to see good from evil yourself, and you'll become like God. Really? Uh-huh. Oh, cool. And she ate it and then gave it also to her husband, Adam, and sin entered the world. What was the devil saying? The devil is saying this. Hey, you know, I know God said it's wrong, but you know what? You don't need somebody else to tell you what's right or wrong. In fact, You should be able to say for yourself what's right or wrong. Decide for yourself. Everybody has to decide for themselves what's right for them and what's wrong for them, not God. You. So if you just take a hold of this thing, I mean, you'll be like God. You can basically call the shots. You can decide for yourself what's right and what's wrong. You don't need God to tell you that. Oh, really? Uh-huh. American society. That's our culture in which we live today. And you see the same deception being bought in by thousands of people again and again. But you want a friend that trusts God's word, that ushers you to Jesus. Even there'll be times you'll be, as it were, paralyzed, not being able, I don't know what to do. You'll need someone that'll say, get on this stretcher, and they take you to the King. Those are the kinds of hearts that you want to trust. This is a person that maintains a trustworthy heart. Well, you say, oh, Wayne, you know, sometimes that's nice. You know, you're a friend with God, and you maintain a trustworthy heart, and you become friends, but there's sometimes not everything works out, and you're going to have to admonish one another because things aren't going the best, and That's where you move to, and you look for those that have graduated into a deeper level of friendship. What do you mean? Well, you see, a lot of times our friendship starts with common affinities. We go to the same class. We play the same sport. We go to the same this or that. And therefore, we kind of become buddies because we're in the same class. But after a while, because we play basketball together, do this together, after a while, that affinity might fade away. You're no longer in the same basketball team. You're no longer on this or that. And so what happens at that point? Does a friendship break? I tell you, there's times where the Lord says, stay friends regardless of the affinity. And even though that common interest goes away, you become friends not by performance or by common affinity. Here's the deepest kinds of friends. Friends by choice. Would you write that in your next bullet there? We are friends by choice. That's the kind of love that God has for you and me. No longer do I call you slaves. He says, I call you friends. Is it because of our performance? Mm-mm. Is it because we're cool? Mm-mm. It's because he chose us to be friends. Now, I want to share with you something that's going to be so important. You've got to catch this. It's because it's so important. Now, let me share with you about a friend of mine, Noel Campbell. He was about 60 years old when Anna and I went to Hilo to pioneer there on the Big Island. And he came over with us. I was 31 years old, and he came just to help, just to encourage. No guarantee of position, no guarantee of pay. He just came. And he's the gentlest guy, the most compassionate man, quiet spoken, but he just came to be a friend. And he helped and supported and encouraged us for 6 years. And I remember some time ago, we were collecting pogs. Do you remember that? Bottle caps. Well, at that time, I was collecting these old bottle caps, Foremost and different ones, and just collecting them. And we were sitting around a table, and this other person had been collecting baseball cards. And another had been collecting stamps. So I said, hey, I collect pogs, and this one collects stamps, this one collects baseball cards. I said, Noel, do you collect any of these? He said, no, I don't collect any of those. I said, do you collect anything? He stopped and he said, well, I collect friends. I thought, wow. Have you ever heard someone say something and then you wished, I wish I would have said that? I looked at my pogs and I said, forget these. Junk. I collect friends. You see, Noel was like that he chose to be a friend. And he would see someone, regardless of the affinity, he said, you are my friend. And he became so loved and such a gift to us all. The gift of friendship by choice. But you need to graduate into this friendship by choice because that's what happens in marriage. Isn't it true? At first, you just become friends because you look at each other and stars are floating and I love you. Right? Oh, I love you too. But isn't it true one day they're in love and the next day I kill you? Man, it's just, whoop. Yeah, that's right. You can see it one day they're just in love, the next day they're in hate. You see that in families, you see that at work, where one day, you know, you're like a hero and the next day you're a zero. You know, you're one day, oh, you're such a super worker bee. The next day, oh, he's a lazy Portuguese. Just completely changed. Because friendships on that level are simply based on affinity and performance. If you perform, you're my friend. If you don't, I'm the king. You're the court jester. If you don't perform, you're out. Often, friends become foes. where once the starting point was friend, poor performance, foe. And actually, if you look around, sometimes if names come to your mind, you can say friend, friend, foe, foe, friend, foe, friend, foe. Your starting point with these people are foes. And what the Bible is saying is even if someone needs to be admonished, don't admonish him as an enemy, but treat him as a what? Brother, a sister, a friend. Do not treat that person as a foe. It's so easy to start off with foe. Now, watch very carefully. If both of you were friends, but now you're foes because of some unresolved thing, when there's a problem, but you're foes, that problem is huge. It's hard to resolve. You can't resolve it. You're unpleasable people, irreconcilable. Why? Because we're foes. But if you're friends, watch how easily things get resolved. It's no big deal. Let's do this. Oh, okay. Done. Is it the problem that's easier? No. Why do problems get more and more difficult in marriages? Because it's when we become foes rather than friends. And imperceptibly, that starting point got changed. And now you start off as my foe until you prove that you're a friend. Whereas in the beginning, you're a friend. Once I had a friend in Hilo that had borrowed some money, and he had given me a time he would pay it back, but for some reason he couldn't, and he lost his job. But we had played music together, and just a dear friend. And he felt so bad because his promise was broken. He came to me and he said, you know, Wayne, I just wanted to, but I can't. And I just need another year even, maybe even more. I said, it's no problem. We're friends. Yeah, but I know. I said, it's no big deal. We're friends. If you need to take that long, take that long. It's no problem. Oh, thanks. So you see, resolving problems, no big deal when there's true friendship. On the other hand, there was a guy some time ago, about 6 years ago, that had an ought with this church. And when he came to meet with me about it, he brought his attorney. And so they sat down, and now the starting point wasn't friend. The starting point was what? Foe. And everything I said, what was that again? Attorney would say, no, you didn't say that before. You said this. I said, well, I don't know. I said, yeah, but you said this. It's right here. Okay. And it was like, all of a sudden, even the smallest problem became a monster. Why? Was the problem that big? No. It was a starting point, was foe. You see, true friendships start with who? With me. How often I say, well, I need better friends. Well, God is saying, starts with you, Wayne. That's why he gives us a model. And if all of us, instead of waiting for friends, what if we all became godly friends? Look around. See how many friends we now have that are godly? We're often waiting on somebody else. You know, I was having problems with about five people. I named this guy Joe and Bill and Steve and this person and that one. What's your name? And so I'd have all these different names. And I'd say, God, I'm having problems with this guy. He's a foe, he's a foe, he's a foe, he's a foe, and he's a foe. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, Wayne, when you're having problems, who is the person that's always present? I realized it was me. I'm the person that's always present when I'm having problems with all these people. I hate it when God does that to me. You'd be surprised when you start with just friends. Just give people a new starting point. Friend, not foe, friend. Foe, friend. Foe, friend. And you refresh the starting point. You'll be surprised how easily things get resolved. Anna and I were at a wedding. I was doing a wedding up on the Damien Estate up there in Moanalua. And Anna came later with her car. And I guess she inadvertently cut off this lady on the freeway. And this lady got mad. She wanted to come after my wife. And if you know my wife, she's the most gracious, gentle lady. And so Anna's just innocently driving to this wedding, and this lady's tailgating, just following. And Anna thought, she looked behind, this lady's following real close. Maybe she's in a rush, so she pulls over to let the lady go by. The lady pulls over behind her. She's going to go deck my wife. So my wife thought, oh, I guess she's trying to find her way to the wedding too. So she pulls back out. True. And this lady follows her up this winding road all the way to the wedding. My wife is dressed real nice. She gets out of the car, and this lady slams the car and starts swearing at my wife. Now, my wife is so sweet. She went over there, and I said, "What'd you do?" She said, "I don't know. Before I even thought about it, I just went over and hugged her." "Oh, come here. How are you?" I said, "Honey, she wanted to deck you. She was this Tita." And my wife said, "Oh, I was just thinking New Hope, and, you know, just hug them." I said, "But you know what?" I said, "What happened?" "This is so cool. This is what happened. She just went up and said, 'Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so glad that you're here. Could you see that Tita over there with this holy lady hugging on her? What are you doing? Get off of me." But after my wife just went and hugged her, after she got hugged, she said, "Okay, just don't do that again." And she drove off. Isn't that amazing? Inadvertently, my wife just had a starting point as friend. Now, just think if they both had the starting point of foe. It would have been a mud wrestling match. But can you see, if we just give the gift of friendship the new starting point, just give it away, and you'll be surprised how problems become resolved. And finally, another wonderful quality that goes right along with that, as I was thinking about who are the neatest friends in my life, as I counted them up, I noticed that every single one had a common characteristic, and was this, that each of them were people who would always be those that looked for an encouraged potential. Would you write that in? They would look for an encouraged potential. Because we all have foibles. We all have flaws. We all make mistakes. But for some reason, they had this uncanny ability to look beyond that. Oh, not deny that. They would deal with that because faithful are the wounds of a friend. But they would see me as a friend. If you want someone to receive criticism, make sure that you have a starting point as friend. Even as parents, being a parent is not enough. If you want to influence the next generation, you need to be their friend. Because if you have a starting point as a foe, it's very difficult for them to receive constructive criticism. But if it comes from a friend, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And these friends are those who would always look for an encouraged potential. Because I believe that in everybody's heart is a dream of what you can be for God. A dream of what your life can amount to one day. But it's covered over by the rubble of past mistakes, immaturities, character flaws, faults, foibles, mistakes, unbelief in your own self. But we need friends that'll come in and say, "No, there's potential there," and believe the best out of you. Jesus did that in Luke 5. Let's read about it. Ready? Go. They led him down through the tiles with his stretcher, right in the center, in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." Can you see that? The stretcher, right down in the middle of this crowded room, and just chipboard dust everywhere from sheetrock. Poo, poo, what, poo? And he looks up and it says, and Jesus saw their what? Faith. And seeing their faith, if it was you or me, poo, poo, hey! We would see their stupidity. We would see their ill planning. We would see how dumb they would be. Do you know this isn't even your roof? And you're breaking this up. But it says, in Jesus, seeing their faith. I looked at that and I thought, what a friend. And I thought, Lord, may I be that kind of person, just like you, that would have as my starting point, friend. And my eyes would look beyond faults and awkwardness and see potential. Man, we need those kinds of friends. I call them dream releasers. People that can release the dreams that are tucked away and somehow imprisoned in our hearts by moving away some of the rubble, not condemning you and me because there's rubble, but moving them away, helping us. Move them away, counsel. And if there's starting point of friend, you watch how easily counsel will be received. If it's starting point foe, you're in trouble. There's going to be defensiveness. But start the starting point. Start with friend. And then look for potential. If each of us would begin to develop those qualities here in this church, do you understand how many godly friends we would have? Because we have become one. I'd like to give a new gift this year, the starting point of friendship.
You've just heard a message entitled The Gift of Friendship with Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening.
Until next time, have a great day in the Lord. God bless you.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.